Bible readings from the book of John, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father, and I do exactly what my Father has commanded. Come now, let us leave."
Thank you. So we've been following this theme in the last few weeks. Character first, the priority of who we are over what we do, the priority of character over our gifts and abilities. And yet we recognise that so often prominence is given to ability. And how easily we are attracted to those who have ability and skill, when really we should be attracted towards those of good and godly character. So that's why we've been reflecting on this theme in the last few weeks. And that's why we're doing the 40 Acts to help us to look out. Because as we engage in acts of generosity, so what we find over time, and it doesn't happen straight away, but over time, as we continue day by day by day to look out to others and seek to act in a generous way, we find our own hearts and our character is transformed. And here, very quickly, let's whack all that up. This is what we've been looking at in the last few weeks, and I think I need to do another one because that's last week. So just a reminder, very quickly, fruit takes time. Are you watching your trees? Can you see? Is it the blossom? Just about coming, almost getting there. Cut the grass for the first time yesterday. I mean, not the first time ever, but the first time kind of this year. That's it. Thank you. And, you know, sign of things are just beginning to bud. But that's the thing about fruit. It takes time. It takes time. And it's not one act of generosity, it's not one act of kindness, but it's day after day after day after day after day. It's a changing attitude of our own hearts And so we begin to have that transformed character. It becomes who we are. One way to have a transformed character is to do something very practical, and that is to read and to reflect and meditate on the life, death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so to do that, very simply, we read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And we reflect on the character of Jesus. And it's simple. We can all do it. And in a way, there's no excuse for us not to do it. We should be doing it anyway. But as we do that, we recognize the character of Jesus contrasts sharply with the character that we so often see either in ourselves or in others. And then the fourth thing was living the change. Don't give the excuse, well, that's not like me. I'm not like that person or that. I don't have that characteristic. Why not have it? And begin to live it. Live the generosity, live the kindness, live the mercy. And as you live in that way, you begin to get transformed yourself. We looked at the three marks of the disciple, up, in, and out. So love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. So up, in, and out. Developing character. Remember, Paul wrote to Timothy and said to that young man, never mind how everybody else lives, never mind what their character's like, never mind what they do, never mind what their habits are. And he says, but you, man of God. No excuses from you, Timothy. You are being called by God to live differently. But you, man of God, flee from all of what everybody else does and pursue righteousness. Pursue the things of God. So no excuses. And that is that challenge. If we are to develop our character, the one thing we have to need to rule out are excuses. That's what we need to do. Is rule out the excuses. And then in the last few weeks, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And at the heart of good character is an awareness of love, that we are loved. Following on from love, your love has given me great joy. That characteristic, that wonderful character trait of joy. Fundamentally, it comes from knowing you are loved. God loves you, and that no matter what your circumstances are, that gives you joy. Do you remember, joy is not dependent upon character, circumstances. Joy is not dependent upon circumstances, but happiness is. Happiness is dependent upon circumstances. And life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That was on the Joy Week. Do you remember, I was searching for whatever the American quote was, you know. This is what they live for, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think, well, you know, because of that, they are going to skew all circumstances to make that work for them. And happiness is a very subjective, selfish, self-centered thing. Whereas joy is simply knowing, regardless of my circumstances, I am loved. God loves me. Others love me. So that's a powerful thing. And then last week, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And today, peace I leave with you. Well, last week, as we looked at peace, these were the headings that I gave you. Peace with God, peace with your neighbour, and peace in the world. Following loving the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbour as you love yourself. The gift of peace with God, knowing that God is for you. Peace with yourself, dealing with who you are, that you might be at ease with yourself. Peace with your neighbour, acting proactively to forgive, to reconcile, to repair relationships so that you can be in good relationship with your neighbour. You can be at peace with your neighbour. But then this last one, peace in the world. I recognise that the more you know of God's peace, the more you will want peace in the world. And where you see people who are not at peace, where you see injustice in the world, where you see fighting in the world, there will be something in you that is moved, deeply moved because of that. Because you know the peace of God. And it engages with that and says, I have that peace and I long for that peace in the world. And so peace as a character trait, it can in a strange way disturb us. We have peace, but we are disturbed because we are motivated to have peace in the world. Now, peace today. Peace, I leave with you. In our passage, what we discover is that peace is the gift of God. And very Trinitarian, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Did you notice in that reading that Graham read for us? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all mentioned there. They're all there. And peace is the gift of God. And just going to trace through how peace relates to Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And we begin with Jesus, the gift from Jesus. And these are the words from John's Gospel. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And here there are four aspects you can draw out from that passage because Jesus begins with "peace I leave with you." And Jesus is saying to his disciples, look, the peace that you've been surrounded with, this assurance, this confidence, this love that you've lived in, I'm not going to take it away from you. I'm going to leave all that experience, the joy of knowing that peace. Peace I leave with you right now. That's the wonderful thing about the gift of God, whatever that gift is. If we enjoy it for a season, God doesn't suddenly move on and take it away from us. And it's the peace now. Peace now. All the peace you've enjoyed. But also peace for the journey. As you move on from this place, if your circumstances change, if things get better or things get worse, well, there is peace for the journey. Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you." And then he says, "My peace." What did he say? "I give you." Yeah? So peace, I leave you. All the peace you've experienced so far with me present, I'm leaving that with you. I'm not going to take it away. I leave it with you. But now, as I leave, I'm going to give you peace. And I give you peace now. And I'll give you peace as you continue your journey, day by day by day. So there is that wonderful reassurance from Jesus. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. I do not give as the world gives. How does the world give? The world, I guess, gives conditionally. Wanting something from you. They give a gift, you're expected to work for it. They give a gift, you're expected to earn it. There are conditions attached, strings attached to the gift that comes from the world. But Jesus says, "I don't give like the world gives. My peace is freely available to you." Now, I need to just make clear here. The peace of God that Jesus speaks about here, this peace that he leaves with us, the peace that he gives day by day by day, the peace that he's not given as the world gives. In a sense, it is conditional, and yet it is freely available. But it's freely available as you walk with Jesus. Do you understand that? The peace is freely available as you walk with Jesus. And you might say, no, it's freely available. I don't want to walk with Jesus. I want to do my own thing, but I want the peace. Well, it's not available. You have to walk with Jesus, and then you will know the peace of God. So that is the only condition, but there are no strings attached to it. All you have to do is walk with Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And so I've just put that note at the end. Peace always. And this is the gift of Jesus. This is what Jesus says about peace. It is about Jesus. But it is also the gift of the Father. Now, last week, we noted that God is for you. I mentioned last week that I was brought up in a tradition where I wasn't sure if God was for me. And I'm pretty sure there were sermons explicitly stating that God had turned away from me because of my sin. And when you're a young teenager, you know darn well, you know, you're not good enough for God, don't you? Or is that just me? You know. But you know it, that you're not good enough for God. And yet that's what I was essentially told so often. And I don't believe that to be true at all. I was sold an untruth. Because my understanding, as I've read the Bible, is God is for you. God is for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Why did God do that? Because he's for you. God is for you. And Jesus says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. It is freely available. What does the Father do? Well, we are told the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. You see, the Father is for you, and the Father, God the Father, wants you to succeed on your journey. God the Father wants you to know peace. God the Father wants you to walk closely with Jesus. It's not, you know, sometimes we might imagine God as a father, but not very good father. You know, a testing father who stands back and says, okay, let's see how you get on. Do you know that kind of father? Waiting for you to fail. You see, God is not waiting for us to fail. God is saying, I will give to you everything you need so that you can succeed. Because God is for you. God will send the Holy Spirit so that you can know peace day by day by day. So Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Peace, freely available, peace always. And God the Father affirms that gift from Jesus and says, okay, this is my part of the deal. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send a counselor, one who will walk alongside you to help you, to support you, to encourage you in your journey so that you can know and experience that peace. And also in this passage, of course, we come across the Holy Spirit. Again, in that same verse, God will give the Holy Spirit. What will the Holy Spirit do? He will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I, that is Jesus, have said to you. So the Holy Spirit is given as a gift, this counselor, the one who comes alongside us to journey with us. And I like to think of the picture of Jesus, you know, on the day of resurrection, when, you know, the story when Jesus walks with the couple on the road to Emmaus, you know, that story, and they don't recognize him at first and so on, but Jesus walks with them. And I like to think of that when I think of the Holy Spirit as our counselor, because the Holy Spirit comes and he walks alongside us. And we don't always recognize him. We don't understand always. Sometimes we do. Sometimes there's moments of revelation when we realize who he's with us. But most times, God is just with us in the Holy Spirit. And he is accompanying us and supporting and encouraging us. And Jesus says, this is the part the Holy Spirit does, to encourage us that we might know peace. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. So the Holy Spirit, teacher, reminder, it's about family and love and joyful obedience. I don't know if the word teacher, we understand that. Reminder, I wonder if that should be reminder. reminder or something. I don't know if I looked up and I couldn't find a better word. Someone who reminds, you know. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. God has given us this gift of the Holy Spirit, one who walks alongside us, our friend, in all circumstances, and will teach us all things. How do I negotiate this particular path? How do I walk today? How do I deal with this issue? The Holy Spirit gives us inspiration. The Holy Spirit helps us and teaches us. And we'll do something one day and we won't get it right. And maybe we'll just reflect on it. And then the Holy Spirit is there just nudging us, saying there's a better way, there's a better way. And the Holy Spirit is there teaching us. It might be that we go to a friend or a neighbour and just say, do you know what, I really messed up with whatever it was I did. I think I could do better with that. And they say, well, I've tried this and so on. And then you'll see that the Holy Spirit is in that person encouraging you and teaching you to walk on the path of peace. And you might come to church or you might read the Bible or whatever it is. And the Holy Spirit is there actively teaching you. Teaching you, educating you, helping you to walk better so that you might know the gift of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit teaches us everything we need to know, but he is also the reminder or reminder up. He will remind you of everything I've said, says Jesus. Now, Jesus says that confidently. The Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, for us, we are in a very different situation to the early disciples. The early disciples, they had been with Jesus. They had heard words from the mouth of Jesus. They had heard the stories, the teaching, the parables from Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was going to remind the first disciples of all that teaching. Everything that Jesus had said to them, the Holy Spirit would remind them. But we weren't there. So how does the Holy Spirit remind us of everything that Jesus said? How does the Holy Spirit do it? Through the Bible. So what do you need to do? Read the Bible. People say, I don't know why. I don't know. Read the Bible. You know, when I say read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, you know, it's not just to fill your time. It's because if we're going to walk the way of peace, the Holy Spirit will come alongside us and will remind you of everything you know. Remind you of everything you've read about Jesus. If you haven't read it, how's he going to remind you? Okay? So we read it. And we read it again and again and again so that it might be quicker and quicker and quicker, more instantaneous when the Holy Spirit reminds us about the way of Jesus. So the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, freely available. The Father sends the Holy Spirit to help us walk the way of peace. He is our teacher and the one who reminds us. But this passage is about family, and it's about love, and it's about joyful obedience. If you've still got your Bible open, have a look at verse 18. This is where Jesus has already mentioned this counselor, this spirit of truth. And in verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. Because in the way of peace is that awareness that we are loved with an everlasting love and we belong to the family of God. In the way of peace, we are reminded that we are loved with an everlasting love, and we are not alone, but we belong to the family of God. And knowing that we are loved, knowing that God is our Father, knowing we belong to God's family, we have peace. and we walk the way of peace. And so it's about family, this way of peace is about family. But it's also about love. Verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. If you love me, you will obey what I command. In verse 24, he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. It's about love. Walking the way of peace is about obedience. Now, I mentioned this earlier. You can't not walk the way of Jesus. You can't do your own thing and then say, God, where's the peace? You know, I want to experience peace. Well, it's over here. You know, it's in the way of Jesus. It's walking the way of Jesus, being obedient to Jesus. It is loving Jesus. It's love, joy, peace. So there's love here within the family, and then there's joyful obedience. And the Holy Spirit, of course, helps and encourages us in this joyful obedience. And we might read a verse like verse 15, if you love me, you'll obey what I command, as a really difficult challenge. So that's not a very nice thing to say, if you love me. But you see, Jesus knows, and the Holy Spirit knows, that in obeying the way of Jesus, there is deep joy. There is deep joy. Have you ever been in a situation where you've done something good for somebody else, and you've known the experience afterwards where you are just so full of joy, where you're buzzing? Have you ever been there? You know? And it might be a simple thing where you've stepped out of your shell one day and you've noticed somebody else, or you've wronged somebody, or whatever it is you've done, and you have helped somebody else. And you've come away thinking, do you know what? That was great. That was great. Why don't I do that more often? And this obedience, it's a joyful obedience. So the Holy Spirit is just saying, just do what Jesus wants. Show your love in obedience, because there is great joy and there is this way of peace. And so, reflecting today that this peace is the gift of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus leaves us the peace. He gives us peace for the journey. This peace is freely available for us. The Father so wants us to know peace that the Father sends the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the one who walks alongside us to encourage us and help us. And Jesus says the Holy Spirit will teach you. If you don't know what to do, he will teach you. He will open your eyes each day so that you might walk the way of Jesus and you will know peace. And he will remind you of all you know of Jesus, everything you've read about Jesus, every experience you've had of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will remind you of it, that you might walk in the way of peace and you might live and rejoice in the way of peace. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are determined that we might know peace and we might live in the way of peace. Gracious Lord Jesus, we thank you for the peace you leave with us. We thank you for the peace that you give us, the peace that comes as we walk with you. And thank you that that peace is all mixed up with joy and with love. And Father, thank you that you are so determined and so wanting for us to know peace, that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that he would teach us and remind us that we are loved, that we belong, that we're part of a family. Father, may we know your peace. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.